got some special things going on today. We've adjusted our service just a little bit, and I'll tell you a little bit more about why after the message today. But today I want to get into our sermon. We're in our Summer at the Gathering series, which is a few weeks where we teach some unconnected sermons, where we take a minute to share a little bit about what's on our hearts. And my message today is titled, Let Freedom Ring. Come on, somebody. It's the 5th of July. Yesterday was the 250th anniversary of America. It's okay to be a little bit excited about it. I wore American flag pants all day yesterday, and I'm pumped about that. I love this country. I love it. I love the beautiful land that we occupy. I love the people that live here. I served this country for almost 9 years in the Coast Guard, and I'm proud of that. I love the freedom that we get to enjoy here. I've been to many other countries around the world, and I know that we have freedoms and opportunities and blessings in this nation that other people only dream about. I also know that this country is far from perfect. Nobody would argue with that statement today. But this country has always been far from perfect. In fact, the design and the idea was an ideal to strive for and never something to simply occupy. And so I pray for our country and for where we are and for the future and for where we're going, because I believe that despite our flaws, we have freedoms here that we are meant to leverage for good. You see, what I know about influence is that everybody has influence and that all of us are called to do the same thing with that influence. We are called to leverage it to build the kingdom of God. His gospel above all else. And I believe that the freedom that we get to enjoy, that we celebrate on a weekend like this, is meant to be leveraged for the kingdom of God. So today I want to talk to you about freedom. But not the kind of freedom that we celebrate with stars and stripes and fireworks and hot dogs. I want to talk to you today about real freedom. Because if the freedom that we enjoy in this country was taken away from you tomorrow, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would still be free. There is a freedom that you have been given that no man or devil could ever take away from you. Even if they take your life, they cannot take my freedom. That was from Braveheart, deep cut. Rael actually begged me not to do that. And as I was saying it, I thought, man, I should listen to Rael more. Gotta move on. To be free to worship like I can here in North Carolina is a gift and a privilege, but without it, my life's purpose would not change. My joy would not be gone. My peace would endure. I want you to know and understand that kind of freedom today. There's a great story in Luke chapter 4, and Jesus is in his hometown. It says he went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. He goes home for church on Sunday. And on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. He's doing a little preaching in his hometown church. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. This comes from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down, and the eyes of everyone on the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus read from Isaiah chapter 61. It's this prophetic passage that declares the mission statement of the Messiah. Jesus is declaring to these people on this day that not only is he the Messiah, he's saying, I am the Messiah. And not only that, but at long last, this people who may have been freed from slavery 1,000 years beforehand, today before you, this people is finally made free. Jesus came to bring real freedom. And without him, I don't believe you can experience freedom. You can live in America, drive a Chevrolet, and cry every time you see a bald eagle. But if you do not know Jesus, you cannot have real freedom. And why is simple? Because of sin and shame and guilt and the immeasurable divide between God and humanity. And I think you already know this. Even if it's your first day in church, I think you already know this. Because I believe this reality is written into your soul. We all have this awareness of the distance between us and God. For some of us, it's too much awareness. We're constantly reminded that there is a gap that we can't close. We tried with everything we could think of through our work, through pursuing our passions and our dreams. We accumulated money. We got power. We did all the things that we could think of to close this gap that was living in our souls, but none of us were able to. There's a disconnect between us and our purpose and our peace, a distance that feels like it's between us and ourselves. We look at the sum of the mistakes we've made in our lives, the people that we've hurt, the things that we've thrown away, the things that we've kept. We look at it and we study our pursuit and our victories along with our defeats, and we see that something is profoundly wrong. Something is missing. So we just keep searching for more. We don't know what to call it. We just want to be free, but we can't. Our sin has us enslaved. We're enslaved to our shortcomings, enslaved to our addictions, enslaved to our little bad habits. We're enslaved to our guilt and our shame, to the constant reminders of our bad decisions, of our mediocrity. We're enslaved to our melancholy. We are slaves with no hope of ever shaking ourselves free from the chains around us. Jesus said this in John chapter 8. Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And now a slave has no permanent place in a family. But if a son, you see, a son belongs to the family forever. And if a son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. See, Jesus came to set you free indeed. It's called atonement. Sin has a consequence, and that consequence is always death. There's no little sin that only deserves a little wound here and there. We don't quantify it. There's no value placed on this that's different than that. They all collect the same price. Every mistake and selfish decision I've ever made collects the same price, and the price is death. Why? Because that's the consequence that God gave, and he is just. What he requires does not change, and whatever he says is everlasting. And God is also compassionate and merciful and filled with grace. And so he allowed our penalty to be transferred from us to another. Our debt paid by somebody else. Do you know what that's like? Have you ever had a debt that you couldn't pay? Oh, I have. We'd be here all day if I were to tell the stories. Maybe it was a debt that was crushing you, keeping you up at night, constant phone calls, debt collectors chasing you everywhere you go. You didn't know what to do, who to call, where to get help. Just imagine being in that position and somebody coming along and saying, I'll pay it all. The relief, the joy, the gratitude. We are free today because Jesus paid it all. He lived a life without sin, even though he was tempted. And that meant that he owed no debt of his own. His slate was completely and forever clean. And yet, he decided to step into our place, fully God and fully man. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that we might be saved through him. When he came to this place, he didn't come with your judgment in mind. He came with your salvation. And so by his death, our debt is paid. The prophet Isaiah wrote about that as well. In Isaiah 53, he said he was pierced for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we are healed. He died that you might have freedom. And he was resurrected so that we could have life. And not just life, but life everlasting. He came back from the grave that we might have the opportunity to dwell in his presence and in the presence of our Father forever. And so, because of Jesus, we have this access to real freedom. But what do we do with it? And if that's true, why don't we live like we're that free? What if we use our freedom for the wrong things? Paul talked about this a lot. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. See, yoke is used interchangeably in the Greek. In the New Testament, it's used interchangeably with the word burden. Specifically, a yoke in that context is a giant wooden harness that's set between two ox and attached them to a plow. It's this image we're meant to have of something weighing you down and steering you in the direction it wants you to go. A burden. And you have been unburdened, made free. And if you've been unburdened and made free, then why would you choose to be burdened again? You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge your flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour one another, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Now, there's so much I could go all day and talk about in this country, how we've lost the sight of this passage, this truth. But I would tell you today, I would appeal to your heart and to the different ways that once we've been set free by Christ, we allow our sinful nature to take over again. It's not always addictions and habits. Sometimes it's just the way we relate to the world. As the ambassadors of Christ, we've been called to be ambassadors of his love to the world. And yet we come with bitterness, anger. We fight against one another. It's harder to find a more difficult room than a room full of church people sometimes. And yet, we have been made free. Paul says, why would you keep on living that way if the chains are gone? Here lies the problem that many face in our faith. We're given freedom and we just don't know what to do with it. You've been called to a better way of life. To surrender yourself to God fully, to continue the work of Jesus by building up his kingdom on earth. And it's not as complicated as we make it. It's hard, but it's not that complicated. Love people. Share the gospel. Serve people. Point people to Jesus. Love people well. Paul says in Philippians, lay down your own selfish ambitions and serve others before yourself. Jesus says, very simply, go and make disciples. And that's what our freedom is for. We are unbound from sin that we can pursue a different kind of life. The life that we were made for. Still a life in service, but in service of the right things and not the wrong ones. And yet so many of us, even though our chains are unlocked, we still wrap them around us all the tighter. Verse 16, Galatians 5. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. In another letter, Paul describes a war that's taking place inside of us. We want to do the right thing, but we keep on doing what is wrong. We can't get out of our own way, and so what are we to do? How are we to live free when the battle for freedom is raging in our souls each and every day? The answer is the Holy Spirit. When you follow Jesus, not only does he give you freedom, but he gives you power. Not just any power, his power. The very same power that called him up out of the grave. The very same power with which he spoke to Lazarus and said, come out. And a man walked out after 4 days dead. The very same power that brought sight to the blind, that helped the lame walk. That same power is dwelling inside of you, helping you stay free. This power gives you control over those sinful desires. Verse 17, they're in conflict with each other, the spirit and the flesh, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. And the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this cannot and will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the things that you've been freed to pursue, the things that your freedom will produce in you, are things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Those who belong in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And since we live by the Spirit, may we keep in step with the Spirit. Live as a slave and be controlled by the acts of the flesh, or live in freedom and develop the fruit of the Spirit. That is the kind of freedom that nobody could ever take away from you. Paul, who wrote so much about freedom, the expert on biblical freedom, Paul spent his life not in a country like the one we live in here, but in a world where being a follower of Jesus was very dangerous. He had Emperor Nero and Diocletian, Roman emperors who saw themselves as gods. They saw Jesus as a threat to the empire. Christians were heretics, and they were publicly killed for sport. Paul, who wrote so much about freedom, wrote most of it from a prison cell. When Paul led people to the gospel, they would lose their homes, their businesses. They would be disowned by their families. They would be arrested. Many of them were brutally killed. Paul was arrested and jailed multiple times, stoned nearly to death, shipwrecked while being prison transferred, and ultimately he was executed for his faith. And yet over and over again, he declared, "I am free." How? When he had power and prestige and position, people that respected. How? When he had all of those things, was he a slave? But when he lost all of that to pursue Jesus, he considered himself free. Because that's what real freedom is. And that's the kind of freedom that we have in Jesus that nobody can take away. So three quick things about freedom today. First, you have been set free, and so live like it. You have been set free, live like it. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Paul wrote these words to a group of Christians who were telling everyone that they couldn't be Christians unless they went through the Old Testament covenant of circumcision and lived by Levitical laws. It was not great for new church membership. They'd been given a new standard to live by, but the people around them kept telling them they had to go back to the old one, simply because that's what they knew. That's what made sense to them. It was fulfilled, that covenant. It was made new by Jesus. It was a system that was made to be temporary, just waiting on the one that would shake it free. It was a system that was almost impossible to live by and held up by constant sacrifices, but it's what they knew. It's what they had always done, and doing anything different was very hard. The people did the same thing when Moses freed them from Egypt. He took them out of bondage and into freedom, and they just kept trying to go back. No less than five times they asked just to go back to Egypt. And when Moses was getting the law from God, they were worshiping a golden calf, an Egyptian god, because that was all that they knew. They had freedom, but they kept choosing slavery because sometimes we would rather stay in the toxic familiar than step into the unknown. We've been handed the future that we've dreamed about, but we stay in the past we beg to leave behind. We're given purpose, and we're given power, and we stay in sin and shame. And I just need you to hear me tell you that you do not have to today. That the path to freedom can be scary, but it is worth it. We can choose freedom. It just takes work. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you don't live under the law anymore. You are under grace. You are dead to sin and alive in Christ. So put your flesh to death. He says in chapter 8, those who live according to the flesh have got their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on the things that the Spirit desires. And the mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to his law, nor can it do so. And those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Find freedom by the power of his Spirit. I know it's easier said than done. I know the chains are heavy. Even if the locks are gone off of them, they're not easy to shake free from. But you can find freedom by the power of the Spirit. You can be as though you are dead to your sin and alive in Christ. You can experience that newness. It just takes some work. I'll tell you how to do it. In fact, I'll give you a cheat code. It's the church. Not the steeple, the people. Paul tells us that when we confess our sins to God, we're saved. It's that simple. It's done. It's done. It was finished 2,000 years ago on the cross when Jesus said those words. It is finished. But James tells us that when we confess our sins one to another, we're healed. So maybe you're forgiven, but you're not healed yet. You need somebody to come into your life, to stand beside you, to help you find healing, to hear your confession, to get vulnerable with. You need to invite somebody into your journey, or it will be a long and arduous one if you try to do it alone. You need to lean into the Spirit, because it is by his power that you're made free. You don't have the ability on your own. Paul says that the Spirit would develop these fruits in you, fruits like self-control that you're going to need to shake those chains. The Spirit overpowers the flesh, not you. Strengthening the Spirit is not as hard as we make it. It is like strengthening your body. It's not hard. It just requires discipline. Show up when you don't want to. Pray every single day. Pray with others. Find those people that you're willing to get vulnerable with and pray with them. Learn how to pray together. If you don't know how to pray, it's the same as anything else you don't know how to do. You learn it from somebody who knows. Read his word every single day. There is power in the word of God. His words bring freedom. His words give life. His words will give you what you need when you need it. There is no greater way to connect with the holy living God than to read and know his word. Pray. Read his word and worship him and him only. One of the things we talk about at the gathering is the principle of priority. Give God your very first of everything. Give him the first of your time, the first of your talents, and the first of your treasures. And what I believe is that one of the kind of cheat codes to having the power of the Holy Spirit grow within you and in your life is just worship him first thing in the morning. Before you make your coffee order, before you read the news, before you let yourself get overwhelmed with the to-do list of the day, what if the very first thing on your mind and in your attention was the holy presence of God? Not for something from you, but just to be near him. And the more that you're near him, the more his power swells within you You can ask for it. He loves to grant, answer that prayer. God, I want more of your presence. I want your spirit more within me. Father, I want to build these gifts of your spirit. I want victory over my flesh, and I believe that your power of victory is here with me in my closet today. Would you give me freedom? Every morning, worship, prayer, and scripture, it's a cheat code to life. Make it a priority. Repent of your sin. Repent just means to turn. You're walking one direction, you turn and go the other way. Repent. Leave it behind. Even the sins that you don't want to admit are sins, leave them behind. Put God first. Be free. And then never stop fighting for your freedom. Here's what I want you to know, that when you repent and you are forgiven, you are completely forgiven. It says this in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. You are washed and clean and forgiven. It is done. It is finished. There's nothing else for you to do but say yes to the gift being offered. If you're a slave to sin, it's because you're choosing to be. You have freedom available, but you surrender your freedom to the slavery of sin. When we enter a relationship with Jesus, just like those people in the desert, we may be out of slavery, but the slavery is still in us. And getting it out is a process, just like it was for them. The Apostle Paul had to go through a process. If you don't know, Paul was a Pharisee. He hated Christians. He hunted them. He participated in the first killing of a Christian when he martyred Stephen. And then he met Jesus and was radically changed. But it wasn't overnight. From the time that he met Jesus until the time that he became the famous church planting apostle was 14 years. You don't hear a lot about that time. That's because God was doing work. It was 14 years of discipleship. He served under the apostles. He let them pour into him, teach him. He studied the work of Jesus. And he found freedom. You're going to have work to do too. And if you come into this freedom but you have addictions, well, there may be a lot of work ahead of you to get free. But by the power of the Spirit and with the right community and process, you can be free. And maybe sometimes you do that work and you get free and then you fall back into the patterns of sin that you had before. What then? Are you no longer saved? Do you need to go through it all over again? Do you have to get baptized again? Are you a slave to sin again? Is your freedom gone? Is your grace forfeit? Praise God, the answer is no. That's just not how it works. The blood of Jesus has covered your sins, all of them, past and present, future. If we live in sin, unrepentant, and we surrender our freedom, that's a different, more nuanced conversation. But if we make a mistake, which we will, it doesn't cost us our salvation with a misstep. In our journey, we'll stumble and fall. When we do, we repent, we get back up, we keep fighting for our freedom. You can find freedom and you can live in it. Romans 8:1 says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And for I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation could separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You just can't escape him. So fight for your freedom. Keep moving forward. You are forgiven. This freedom is yours. Last thing is this. Freedom isn't free. Paul opens Romans 6 this way. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No, by no means. We are those who have died to sin, so how could we live in it any longer? problem with freedom is that we tend to take it for granted. The longer we live in it, the more we take it for granted. We do this here in America. I watched the Ken Burns documentary on the American Revolution with my children yesterday. My four-year-old wasn't ready for it. Oh, Ken, we watched about the Battle of Bunker Hill. Bloody battle in the Revolution. And they're all like this the whole time as he's describing the way people are being maimed. It was probably too much and not great parenting. I just wanted them to understand something simple. It's the 4th of July, and I just need you to know that the freedom you have costs something. That it costs somebody everything. That this country is a country because people died. And it was horrible and bloody. One of the things that Eleanor said was, war is bad. I said, yes, there's never been a good one. It's terrible. But what I get to enjoy was paid for by blood. And this is the gospel. This is its message, as simple as it could be. That the freedom that I enjoy, the freedom to make mistakes and get up and keep going, the freedom to have his spirit give me power when I have none, that freedom was bought and paid for at a price. Somebody bled and died for it, and he was perfect in every way, deserving of nothing but honor and worship and glory. And instead, he put on a crown of thorns. He was mocked, and he died on a cross for my sins. Watching the Battle of Bunker Hill, those men didn't know my name. They didn't know what I would do with their freedom. They fought for it anyways. I'm grateful. But the one who went to the cross, he knew your name. He knew what you would do with his freedom. He believed the very best in you. He saw the purpose that he placed in you. He saw the lives that would be changed because of you. He saw the people you would love. He saw it, and it was worthy of sacrifice to him. So never forget, your freedom isn't free. You are not your own. You were bought and paid for at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. When I submit myself fully to him, when I give him my hopes and my dreams and my future, that's when I experience real freedom. Freedom to live in my purpose. Freedom to serve my God. Free from my sin and my shame. Free from my overwhelming fears. Free from my selfish ambitions. He gives me the kind of freedom that gives me peace in the face of disaster, the kind of freedom that I would readily die for, the kind of freedom that I am so grateful to get to live for. So, would you like that kind of freedom today? If you're in here and you don't have a relationship with him, it's been done, it's been paid for, it's yours. You can have it today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins. I don't want to be in chains anymore. I believe in you. I believe in your death and resurrection. Forgive me. Make me whole. Free me today. All that I am from this day forward, I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Would you stand up?